Reports from Bahrain say the regime has stepped up its campaign of intimidation against rights activists. Bahrain's justice ministry has warned that authorities will not ease pressure on anti-government protesters. The United Nations has expressed, quote, grave concern about Yemen's deadly crackdown on anti-government protests. In a statement issued by his office, UN Chief Ban Ki-moon has voiced concern over reports of excessive use of force against civilians. Meanwhile, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights has condemned acts of violence and indiscriminate attacks on unarmed civilians. Navi Pillay also reminded the Yemeni regime of its responsibility to ensure that the fundamental human rights of its citizens are protected. The U.S. and the EU have also condemned the violence against protesters. Yemen's opposition says the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council has ended its mediation efforts in the country's crisis. The GCC has made the announcement in a letter by the United Arab Emirates to its ambassador in Sana'a. The UAE holds the group's rotating presidency. The GCC decision comes after Yemeni President Ali Abdullah Saleh refused to sign its mediated deal for three times. Saleh's refusal to step down has intensified anti-government protests, which began in February. The demonstrations gained momentum after the government launched its brutal crackdown on opposition protests. Hundreds of people have been killed and thousands more wounded. Regime forces on Tuesday killed seven protesters in the southern city of Taiz. This has pushed the death toll there to over 100 since Sunday. Government troops also killed over a dozen opposition tribesmen in clashes in the capital, Sana'a. The clashes erupted after a truce between tribesmen and regime forces broke down. Political activist Peter Rushton from London tells us about Yemeni president's motives behind his refusal to step down and the role of his allies in this regard.
There will be no prospect of normalcy returning to Yemen for as long as President Saleh remains in power. The reason why that's the case, I think, is that for several months now, he has promised to enter into deals, promised to enter into negotiations, promised even to sign agreements to relinquish power, and then, in the end, found some excuse not to sign. Whether a technical excuse about who else was going to be signing or where the signature would take place, or whether an excuse based on bloodshed and extreme bloodshed and disorder, as in the past few days, when he seems to have calculated that by exploiting events in the south of the country and exploiting the long-running problems in the south of the country that he has in fact done much to stir up, he can claim that his presence is required and he can turn to the Americans, turn to regional power brokers such as the Saudis and their allies and claim that he must stay in charge, otherwise Al-Qaeda will gain a foothold in the country. He thinks that that's a strong card to play, but the truth is that as long as he remains, there is no prospect of progress towards peace and justice in his country. It's because his rule has been based for so long on a combination of brutal violence and corruption.
Several blasts have rocked the Libyan capital, Tripoli, once again. NATO aircraft were heard flying over Tripoli soon after the explosions. There are no reports about the targets or possible damage. NATO has been pounding Libya for over 2 months now. The country's capital has recently become a major target. Meanwhile, the Libyan regime has accused NATO of killing over 700 civilians. A Libyan government spokesman put the figure of injured at over 4,000. Musa Ibrahim said that the figures do not include military casualties. He also ruled out the departure of the country's embattled ruler. He warned that Libya may face civil war if Muammar Gaddafi leaves. A delegation of Egyptian scholars and young revolutionaries is in Iran to help enhance political and cultural ties between Cairo and Tehran. It is the first visit of this nature by an Egyptian delegation in more than three decades. Our correspondent has more on that.
These men and women have arrived from Cairo to Tehran, hoping to open a new chapter in the previously torn relations between Iran and Egypt after the Egyptian revolution put an end to President Hosni Mubarak's 30 years in power. The group, comprising 45 social, cultural, and revolutionary figures, as well as clerics from Egypt's Al-Azhar University, have come to Tehran to take part in a conference titled the Islamic Awakening, held by the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting, the IRIB. The gathering revolved around finding ways to bring the Iranians and Egyptians closer to one another, more than three decades after they severed their diplomatic ties.
Iran and Egypt are two great countries in the region. We share many aspirations. Just like Iran, we believe in maintaining our sovereignty and independence on our own, and are opposed to foreign intervention by the U.S. and other power. We want to decide for our own future and want to have a strong political and economic relations with Iran.
The relation between Iran and Egypt is very important. This relationship must go forward for the benefit of the two peoples and the two countries.
Iran's IRIB chief praised the Egyptian revolution while pointing to Iran's Islamic revolution as a source of inspiration for the popular uprisings in the Arab world.
During the days of your sacred struggle, the people of Iran were with you all the way and prayed for your success.
After the fall of Mubarak, the strongest Arab ally of the U.S. and Israel, officials in Tehran and Cairo expressed their willingness to resume diplomatic relations. However, both countries have stressed that the improvement of ties should be pursued with patience.
I think it is the first step in the relationship between Iranian and Egyptian. We have been late more than 30 years. Every one of us tell the other his point of view and listen to his point of view and make compromise.
Iran severed ties with Egypt in 1980 after Cairo signed the 1978 Camp David Accords with Israel and offered asylum to Iran's deposed monarch, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi. Despite having an interest section both in Tehran and in Cairo, Iran and Egypt have had no diplomatic relations for three decades. This political deadlock led to a social separation between the Iranians and the Egyptians. Now Iran's national media is hopeful that by inviting intellectuals and social activists from Egypt, it could open a new threshold in the social relations between the people of both countries. Amir Mehdi Kazemi, Press TV, Tehran.
Bosnian Serb wartime general Ratko Mladic has been transferred to a UN detention facility in The Hague. Mladic was put on a plane in Bosnia shortly after a Serbian court rejected an appeal against his extradition. Mladic faces genocide charges over atrocities committed during the Bosnian War in the 1990s. They include the massacre of more than 8,000 Muslim civilians in Srebrenica. His family and legal team argued that he was too ill to be extradited to the UN War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague. But Serbian doctors said he was fit enough to be tried. A new report on the U.S. economy shows American consumers are pessimistic about their country's economic outlook. The Conference Board report says Americans are worried about unemployment and rising food and fuel prices. It also shows there is a growing sense that business conditions will deteriorate, jobs will be harder to find, and incomes will shrink. The U.S. has been grappling with an economic downturn since it unleashed wars on Afghanistan and Iraq during the Bush presidency. The meltdown has been the worst economic crisis to hit America since the Great Depression of the 1930s. You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. Reports from Bahrain say the regime has stepped up a campaign of intimidation against rights activists. The United Nations expresses concern over Yemen's deadly crackdown but refuses to take action. And several explosions rocked the Libyan capital as Tripoli accuses NATO of killing over 700 civilians.